I have must have something worthwhile to say about writing it. But the easy answer isn't always the truth. Colonel Sanders sold a hell of a lot of fried chicken, but I'm not sure anyone wants to know how he made it. If I was going to be presumptuous enough to tell people how to write, I felt there had to be a better reason than my popular success. Put another way, I didn't want to write a book, even a short one like this, that would leave me feeling like either a literary gas bag or a transcendental asshole. There are enough of those books, and those writers, on the market already, thanks. But Amy was right. Nobody ever asks about the language. They ask the DeLillos and the Updikes and the Styrons, but they don't ask popular novelists. Yet many of us proles also care about the language, in our humble way, and care passionately about the art and craft of telling stories on paper. What follows is an attempt to put down, briefly and simply, how I came to the craft, what I know about it now, and how it's done. It's about the day job. It's about the language. This book is dedicated to Amy Tan, who told me in a very simple and direct way that it was okay to write it. Second Foreword. This is a short book because most books about writing are filled with bullshit. Fiction writers, present company included, don't understand very much about what they do, not why it works when it's good, not why it doesn't when it's bad. I figured the shorter the book, the less the bullshit. One notable exception to the bullshit rule is The Elements of Style by William Strunk Jr. and E.B. White. There is little or no detectable bullshit in that book. Of course, it's short. At 85 pages, it's much shorter than this one. I'll tell you right now that every aspiring writer should read The Elements of Style. Rule 17 in the chapter titled Principles of Composition is omit needless words. I will try to do that here. Third Foreword. One rule of the road not directly stated elsewhere in this book: the editor is always right. The corollary is that no writer will take all of his or her editor's advice, for all have sinned and fallen short of editorial perfection. Put another way, to write is human, to edit is divine. Chuck Verrill edited this book, as he has so many of my novels. As usual, Chuck, you were divine. C.V. I was stunned by Mary Carr's memoir, The Liars' Club, not just by its ferocity, its beauty, and by her delightful grasp of the vernacular, but by its totality. She is a woman who remembers everything about her early years. I'm not that way. I lived an odd, herky-jerky childhood, raised by a single parent who moved around a lot in my earliest years and who, I am not completely sure of this, may have farmed my brother and me out to one of her sisters for a while because she was economically or emotionally unable to cope with us for a time. Perhaps she was only chasing our father, who piled up all sorts of bills and then did a run-out when I was 2 and my brother David was 4. If so, she never succeeded in finding him. My mom, Nellie Ruth Pillsbury King, was one of America's early liberated women, but not by choice. Mary Carr presents her childhood in an almost unbroken panorama. Mine is a fogged-out landscape from which occasional memories appear like isolated trees, the kind that look as if they might like to grab and eat you. What follows are some of those memories, plus assorted snapshots from the somewhat more coherent days of my adolescence and young manhood. This is not an autobiography. It is, rather, a kind of curriculum vitae, my attempt to show how one writer was formed. Not how one writer was made. I don't believe writers can be made, either by circumstances or by self-will, although I did believe those things once. The equipment comes with the original package, yet it is by no means unusual equipment. I believe large numbers of people have at least some talent as writers and storytellers, and that those talents can be strengthened and sharpened.